This is the Bloomington Review with Jim Inman.
On News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL.
Good Saturday morning to everybody. Jim Inman here on Saturday, March 5th on the Bloomington Review here on WGCL. Glad you're tuning in. And you normally hear Friday and Saturday kind of stuff, but we were preempted on Friday evening because of the Bloomington High School South game. And Joe Smith had Chalk Talk at 5:30. The game tipped off at 6. So we were preempted on Friday evening, but I am doing the show on Friday evening, but it's only going to air on Saturday morning, but you can listen to it Saturday afternoon. And then if you want to listen to it on Sunday, your whole weekend is covered. Did any of that make sense? Maybe not. So glad you're tuning in and waking up with me here on WGCL, and hope you're having a good first weekend of March 2016. And the weather forecast, which we'll get to in a couple minutes, doesn't look too shabby, but a little bit wet again. But as that whole saying goes, in like a lion, out like a lamb kind of thing, we're right about there. And it should be, well, we'll talk about it here in a few minutes. Flying a little bit solo at the moment. Mr. Pillar is out this week. Hopefully he will be back next week in the studio. But we're going to have a packed room for our audience in just a few minutes. Dan Peterson and Tina Peterson are the co-city champions for Lemonade Day 2016. And they are going to be in the studio along with the Lemonade Day city director, Amy Swain, in just a few minutes to talk about Lemonade Day. We have folks on every year to talk about Lemonade Day and how kids can get involved with this program. It's hosted by the Bloomington Boys and Girls Club, so we'll talk a little bit about how it works, how you can get signed up, how you see kids using the money that they have invested in them to put up a lemonade stand. We'll give all of the details in a little bit. And I can tell you in advance, there will be some things that if you are wanting information about, get a pen and paper, but please know that all of this will be up at facebook.com/TheBloomingtonReview and also WGCLradio.com under the Bloomington Review page. So don't worry if you miss any of the information. We'll have it all up for you online where you can check it all out. So Dan, Tina, and Amy will be on in just a few minutes. Next week on the program, the oh-so-wonderful Mr. Kurt Durnell, the Public Information Sergeant with the Indiana State Police, is going to be here in the studio. We've been exchanging some emails and wanted to get Kurt back on. It's been a while since he's been on the show. And I had 3 days up in Chicago earlier this week, and let me just tell you that Chicago traffic almost is not as bad as, I shouldn't say the traffic as much as the speed, as it is on some of the highways of southern Indiana. Holy cow, people. If it's one lane on Highway 37 southbound between Martinsville and Bloomington, and 15 cars ahead of you is going the speed limit, that means I can't go any faster, and neither can the 14 cars in front of me. It's the speed limit. So I'm going to just touch on that a little bit with Kurt next week when he's on the program, and hopefully he will appreciate that and have some insights and all of that good stuff. I don't get road rage, but I get frustrated, and that's all I'm going to say about that. So, but again, we've got a fun show lined up for you here in just a little bit, and we'll be talking about Lemonade Day. Plenty of local news to share as well, and of course, the big stuff, the big news. I got to see it Tuesday night up in Chicago. The Hoosiers men's basketball team beat Iowa to clinch solely. It's ours. Nobody can share it. No co's, no anything. Share it from 6 months of the year to 6 months of the year. We are the Big Ten champions at Indiana University in men's basketball. So that is fantastic. Plus, for the Lady Hoosiers, our Coach Morin was named the Big Ten Coach of the Year. There is some good basketball happening back in Bloomington, Indiana this year. And I know that over the past couple of years, there have been some frustrations and news and different things like that tied to it. And I hope that we have turned a corner a little bit. So we'll talk about that in sports in just a few moments. But again, we're going to take a break. We're going to get into your forecast, your local news, all of that good stuff. And then we'll get into Lemonade Day. So again, facebook.com/TheBloomingtonReview and also WGCLradio.com. You can stream us over there. You can listen to past shows. You can catch up on The Bloomington Review, Your Money with David Hayes, In the Zone, all of that good stuff whenever you want to. So stick around. We'll be back in a couple minutes here on The Bloomington Review. Welcome back to the Bloomington Review. Jim Inman here with you on your Saturday morning, March 5th. And your forecast for the weekend, a little bit wet, but not too bad. 40% chance of rain and snow this morning before 11 o'clock. Then a slight chance of rain midday. Mostly cloudy with a low, or with a high, excuse me, near 51. Tonight, Saturday night, partly cloudy, a low around 30. Then on Sunday, sunny with a high near 54. And of course, all your weather all the time here at WGCL Radio and, of course, WGCLRadio.com. On the state side of news, a federal judge overrode Governor Mike Pence's attempt to stop Syrian refugee resettlement in Indiana, issuing a preliminary injunction on Monday this week that the state immediately contested. At question, according to the Indianapolis Star, is whether Pence has the authority to stop federal dollars that flow through the state to help refugees resettle in our state. Pence suspended Syrian refugee resettlement in the state last year, citing security concerns over terrorist attacks in Paris, as well as questions about the screening of Syrian refugees. However, U.S. District Judge Tanya Walton Pratt cited Monday with Exodus Refugee Immigration. They're a local nonprofit that aids refugees in its lawsuit contending that Pence's decision is unconstitutionally unfair to Syrians. She ordered the state to stop blocking those funds until the case is resolved. Because Pence is targeting only Syrians and no refugees from other countries, according to Pratt, quote, the state's conduct clearly constitutes national origin discrimination. However, Pence said in a statement Monday he stands by his decision to suspend Syrian refugee resettlement in our state, and he ordered the Attorney General's office to seek an immediate stay on the judge's action and appeal it. Pence was quoted in the Indianapolis Star as saying, quote, so long as the Obama administration continues to refuse to address gaps in the screening of Syrian refugees acknowledged by the FBI and a bipartisan majority in Congress, Hoosiers can be assured that my administration will continue to use every legal means available to suspend this program in Indiana unless and until federal officials take steps to ensure the safety and security of our citizens. Also on the state side of things, Lieutenant Governor Sue Ellspermann delivered her resignation letter to Governor Pence on Monday this week. It was effective Wednesday, March 2nd at 5 p.m. She announced earlier in February that she would step down while she pursued the opportunity to become the next president of Ivy Tech Community College. The college has not yet announced who the school's new president will be. Upon Ellspermann's resignation and the legalities of changing everything, State Republican Party, or former chairman of the State Republican Party, Eric Holcomb, was sworn in Thursday afternoon as her successor. So we now have a new lieutenant governor in the state of Indiana. Coming back to the local side of things, when discussing last year's HIV outbreak in the small city of Austin, Indiana, public health officials have repeatedly said what happened in Scott County could have happened in any county in the Hoosier State. According to the Herald Times this week, preventative measures are where resources are better spent, according to Matthew Clay of Centerstone, rather than spending millions of dollars reacting to 180 newly diagnosed cases of HIV, which is what the Scott County Health Department, the Indiana State Department of Health, and the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention did over the course of a year-long investigation. So, what is going on? Well, in an effort to combat rising rates of substance abuse and sexually transmitted infections in Monroe County, the U.S. Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration has awarded Centerstone a $1.4 million grant to begin a 5-year prevention program for residents ages 24 and younger. Centerstone plans to work with the Monroe County Health Department, Positive Link, Monroe County School Corporation, and other local stakeholders to target an estimated 1,400 Monroe County residents younger than the age of 24 who are members of racial and ethnic minorities. This is the population that faces the highest rates of HIV, as well as viral hepatitis and substance abuse disorders, according to Centerstone. Injection drug use among youth in Indiana and across the U.S. is still relatively uncommon, but for those under the ages of 24 who report drug dependence or abuse, they're less likely to receive treatment than adults, according to the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration. Monroe County has the 10th highest number of viral hepatitis cases in the state, according to Centerstone, and 95% of which have been caused by intravenous drug use. Also on the local news scene, Monroe County officials want to switch software vendors as a solution to ongoing payroll woes and a need to improve efficiency in the auditor's office. in the Herald Times this week, and during their work session last week, County Auditor Steve Salter said the department wants to switch the county's payroll financial package from current vendor Harris Computer Systems, who's been serving the county since about 2001, to a new organization called Lowe Associates. The base price for the software is about $190,000, with an annual maintenance fee of about $32,000. It's a lot of money, but according to the article here, this is actually lower, according to Eric Evans, the chief technology officer, is lower than what the county pays now to Harris in terms of the maintenance fees. In addition, the price increases if the county wants to integrate third-party software to improve time and attendance and payroll benefit administration. It's also going to cost money to transfer all the years of current data the council wants into the new system, according to Monroe County Attorney Jeff Cockrell. Andy Lowe, the sales representative with Lowe Associates, said the base price includes roughly 3 years of data conversion, but beyond that will be done at a fee of about $7,500 more for each additional year. This is still shaking out, and Marty Hawk, who is on Wednesdays with Glass in the morning, has a lot more information about that, so tune in to next Wednesday's Glass in the Morning at just after 8 o'clock, and you will hear from County Councilwoman Marty Hawk on updates on that story. We are going to take a break, come back, and again, we have a great crew in the studio. Amy Swain from the Boys and Girls Club, along with Dan and Tina Peterson, who are the city champions, 2016 city champions, for Lemonade Day here in Bloomington. So we're going to hear all about that and much more, plus plenty in sports in a few minutes. Stay with us here on the Bloomington Review. Welcome back to the Bloomington Review. Jim Inman here with you, and it is a packed house here in the WGCL studios. Nice to have Dan and Tita Peterson with me, along with Amy Swain from the Boys and Girls Club, and I'm so glad that you guys are all here to talk about Lemonade Day. And so let's start with Dan and Tina, whoever wants to be on the microphone first. What is your role with Lemonade Day this year?
Well, I think officially our role is city champion for Lemonade Day 2016.
Which is the fifth year of this event locally, correct?
Absolutely.
Okay. Mm-hmm. What is a city champion? Well, before we get into that, let's talk about Lemonade Day. This is a national initiative, and Dan, what brought you to this? What intrigues you about the idea of Lemonade Day?
Well, I think it's just such a wonderful concept and event in so many different ways. It's just perfect for Bloomington in a sense because it does all the right things, gets kids engaged in starting their own business, obviously, using a lemonade, you know, the traditional lemonade stand mm-hmm. as the model for that. It teaches them how to do a business plan, how to plan for their event, how to build the lemonade stand, how to handle money. They get loans and investors to help them with the resources to build the stand. It teaches them financial responsibility and work ethic and customer service and doing it on their own and self-confidence and great. And it just has so many elements that are so important for all of our kids, and just a really neat event.
And Amy Swain is the Lemonade Day City Director, so let's talk about who is participating in Lemonade Day. Because Dan mentioned the kids. Well, who are these kids that are starting to sign up for this program?
We already have 150 kids signed up for this year.
Oh, my gosh.
And looking for many more. We've had more than 400 kids participate in the past in a single year, so we're hoping to even top that number this year because, like Dan said, it is such a wonderful program, and it teaches so many really good life skills.
When you say 400, are you talking and we'll get to the date and everything, 400 Lemonade Day stands across the community?
Or
how does that break out?
Some people group together. I know the Boys and Girls Clubs have multiple stands based on our three clubs here in Monroe County, and so they will do work shifts because the kids have sporting events or family commitments or other things, so they learn about work shifts and work schedules mm-hmm. as part of the Lemonade Day program. We've had Boy Scout troops, Girl Scout troops, Girls Inc. has participated. There was a dance group from Kix last year that participated, and they worked the stand together. So even if we have, you know, 500 kids participate this year, it may not be a total of 500 lemonade stands, but there's still going to be a heck of a lot for people to go around and visit.
Okay, wonderful. So Tina, tell us about how this works for these kids. I mean, obviously that's a business experience, but what's involved in between now and Lemonade Day itself?
Well, first, I think it's important that kids have to sign up to participate.
Sure.
Right? So, so step number one is that they need to either attend an event, and you can find those on the website, which is bloomington.lemonadeday.org. Find a list of places to register, or you can just do it online, correct? Mm-hmm. And then from that point, then they begin to start the process of planning for their business, right? They're starting a business. They're going to operate a business for a day. And so they're going to get resources, obviously, on the 2nd of April. They're going to have an interactive workshop day where they're going to do all kinds of things. They're going to learn about how to build stands. This year, will they be also working on their recipes? I know some years you work on your Lemonade Day recipes.
Wait a minute. Yeah, recipes for lemonade? Lemonade,
oh,
sugar?
This is
all kinds of lemonade.
This is not your father's lemonade stand.
No. There was a strawberry lemonade that I had one year that was absolutely phenomenal. But this young person, not very big, by the way, refused to divulge the recipe. I mean, this is top secret stuff.
Julie Warren from Visit Bloomington, her daughter had a stand last year, and it was the super fizzy, ultra pink lemonade or something. Like, I mean, it was this long.
Marketing comes into play as well,
you know,
right, Jim?
It absolutely
lemonade
does.
With Pop Rocks would be pretty special,
ooh,
wouldn't it?
Ooh.
I mean, oh, I hope I didn't give away anybody's secret.
I wonder if you could do Candy Stripe lemonade.
Yeah.
A little red and white.
I tell you, that's a good idea. To the stands last year, it ran from pomegranate lemonade. And I really appreciate that the kids had to think about their product line, their price point, things like that. What sizes were they going to offer? This one young man, he had a stand down on the square, and he had four different sizes. He had the tasting size, which was 25 cents, all the way up to $1.50 for the jumbo size with a bag of pretzels thrown in.
Great.
They're learning to market, which will also be part of that April 2nd event, is marketing and communicating their product. So really learning all aspects of being a business person.
Sure.
But you won't be surprised that my favorite part is they're also going to talk about being philanthropists, right?
Mm-hmm. Great.
Because part of their goal for this is to spend some, save some, share some.
Mm-hmm.
And so every year they get the chance to, at this workshop, to think about how they might choose the right organization or organizations to receive the sharing part of what they raise that day, which I think is phenomenal to start working with kids at this age on thinking about giving back.
And that's one of the questions I'm often asked is, one, does it cost anything to participate? No, it's free. And second, this is not a fundraiser for any organization. The kids keep all of the money that they earn.
So how do they get money? How do they get the startup cost, if you will, to start their business? Who wants to take that one?
They have to find an investor.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Just like any other business, you have to find an investor. A lot of times that's mom or dad, but sometimes it isn't. We had one group at IU, a business fraternity, that did a fundraiser specifically to raise funds that they could loan to a Lemonade Day group.
Oh.
And so it was a wonderful, they did a conference
like a microloan.
Call. The microloan. It was wonderful, and we're actually working with some other groups to see if we can even expand on that this year. But a lot of times, like I said, it's just mom or dad. It depends on the level of sophistication, sometimes the age, and sometimes the experience of the kid involved, because we have some kids that have done this multiple years, and they learn things from year to year and improve upon what they did the previous year.
Okay. I know that, Amy, you're with the Boys and Girls Club. Do kids have to have an involvement with the club in order to participate in this?
No, they don't. We do have a lot of club kids that participate, but this is for the whole community.
Okay.
This is one of two community outreach programs that is hosted by the Boys and Girls Club, the other one being our Butterfly Kisses Dance, which is also in April. But Lemonade Day is hosted by different organizations in different communities throughout the country. There are actually eight different programs in the state of Indiana. One is done by the Chamber of Commerce. Another one's done by the Economic Development Commission. In one northern Indiana community, it's actually done by a private corporation who started as an entrepreneur and likes the entrepreneurial aspect of the Lemonade Day program, and they run the program in that community. So we're just very privileged to be able to run it through the Boys and Girls Club here in Monroe County.
So Dan, does your phone ring from friends in business across Bloomington and then say, I've got some little kid knocking on my door and they want to build a Lemonade Day stand outside my my shop or anything like that?
Well, they very well might, and that's how businesses can get involved. Organizations can get involved. Cook, for example, is the main title sponsor of the event and really believes strongly in this type of activity, of course. But and there's about 20 other, I think, businesses that are financial sponsors of the event, which helps offset the cost so that this can be a free program for these kids. But if businesses, organizations want to do something instead of or in addition to financial sponsorship, they can help host a site and have a student or a young person that will have their stand on their business's site, which they have to go in. The young person has to go in and kind of negotiate, if you will, with the business owner to make sure it's okay and that they work out the appropriate times and how the lemonade stand's going to be placed and all that. So it's all great experience in addition to just a lot of fun. So yeah, I hope the phone's ringing all the time, to be honest.
Well, let's take a break. We'll come back. Let's get into some dates. We'll talk about registration. We'll talk about some of the things from last year's event as well, and we'll spread all the information about how people can find out more about Lemonade Day. So stay with us. We'll be back here in just a couple minutes. Welcome back to the Bloomington Review. Jim Minman along with Dan and Tina Peterson and Amy Swain. We're talking about Lemonade Day 2016 in Bloomington. So we talked about some of the highlights. So who has the information about registering for Lemonade Day? Who wants to? Amy, is that, they're pointing
Amy,
at you.
Yeah,
so.
Oh, you, Amy.
So I know that there was a kickoff event a week or so back to kind of start the registration. So how are people doing that now?
Right. So registration's open right now. They can go online to our website at bloomington.lemonadeday.org, and they can register right there online. We'll also have tabling events throughout the community at some of the schools, at some of the events that are going on. Those are also listed on the website. So if you want to come and kind of get a little bit more information, you can do it that way. You can also email me at lemonadeday@bgcbloomington.org.
And if anybody that's listening to this, if they miss it, we will put all of this up at wgclradio.com and our Facebook page as well. So if you don't have your pen nearby, you can check it out when you get online. So just an FYI.
Yeah, and Amy, can I ask you a question?
Sure.
So when they sign up, is that when they get their workbook and their other tools for planning? Is that when that happens?
Right.
Workbook sounds like homework.
No, it's fun.
Okay.
It's very colorful. It's the whole Lemonade Day curriculum. It includes everything they need to be successful, but we want to take it to the next level with the workshop on April 2nd that we mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
But the workbook takes them through all the lessons. So they learn how to set a goal. And as part of that goal, they're going to have to create a budget. And they have to think about profit and how much their expenses are. There are field trips as part of the curriculum. There are also tips and tricks. There's role playing.
Oh my gosh, this is great.
It's a very interactive, fun. Oh, it is. It really is. And so when they sign up, to your question, Tina, when they sign up, we get that information, and then I will contact them about how they want to pick up their workbooks and backpacks and t-shirts and either get that to them or have them stop by the office to get it. They can come to one of our tabling events. They get a confirmation email that they can print out and bring to one of our table events that are listed on the website and pick them up there. Or they can come to the workshop on Saturday, April 2nd out at the Ivy Tech Center for the Life Sciences. They're on, 501 North Profile Parkway. And they can both pick up their stuff, attend the workshop. They can also register there at the workshop, attend the workshop, and get all of their items. So we try and make it as easy and as accessible as we can.
And everything's on the website.
Yeah.
You know, all this information on the events and everything leading up to it.
What age group are we talking about here? I mean, are we talking kindergartners? Are we talking high school? Are we talking everything in between? Or how does the
what's the age spread? Target age is the elementary grades, like 1 through 5. We've had some younger kids and some older kids participate. Mm-hmm. And sometimes the older kids who have participated at a younger age will become mentors and help younger siblings run their own lemonade stands. So it's a really nice family project that can be done.
Great. So talking about mentoring, I'm assuming that the investors, if you will, the businesses that are supporting these kids, do they get involved in a little bit in helping these kids build up to Lemonade Day itself?
Well, you know, it sounds to me like there are a lot of people that mentor these kids along the way, right?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. I've known that there have been some kids from Big Brothers, Big Sisters. Sometimes they're Bigs or their mentor. Sometimes it's their parent. Sometimes it's a brother or sister. Sometimes it's somebody else in the community that's close to them. And I think that's one of the real charms, right, and the benefits of Lemonade Day is creating this opportunity for adults and children to work together on a common goal, right, where they're almost peers in some
right.
way, right?
Right?
You know, hey, we're starting a business together. To me, and we all know the value of mentoring, it can really change the future for kids. And so I think it's one of the most important parts of Lemonade Day.
And you guys have been, Dan and Tina, you've been part of this over the last few years, if I'm correct. And mm-hmm. are you seeing some entrepreneurial skills coming out in these kids, or if they're doing it year after year, or what are you seeing along entrepreneurship?
Oh, for sure. I mean, when you go to the day of mm-hmm. and go around to some of the stands, you see and talk to the kids. Some of them have been in it for a number of years, and you definitely see how their skills have increased.
Mm-hmm.
Their interpersonal skills mm-hmm. in talking to adults and anybody coming up. I mean, their ability to kind of tell their story and tell why they're doing what they're doing.
Right.
Obviously, their stands and their product improves. But I think the neatest part of this thing is that it teaches all of these lessons and skills. And they're all the right lessons and skills that will help these kids and help our community grow stronger and stronger for years and years to come. Mm-hmm. But the beauty of it is these kids, they don't realize or they don't feel like they're being taught, if you will. Mm-hmm. It's not like it's being directed to
right.
them. And
It's
not a classroom. They're learning all these skills in a very natural, in relevant way and in a fun way. They have so much fun doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, you can just feel it. So I encourage everybody, whether you've got a kid out there doing it that day or not, get downtown on Friday, May 21st, Saturday, May 21st, mm-hmm. For Lemonade Day, and go around to these stands and enjoy the lemonade, but also talk to these kids. It's just fantastic.
So Lemonade Day, Saturday, May 21st.
Mm-hmm.
Is
mm-hmm.
that the weekend before Memorial Day?
It is.
Okay.
The weekend before Memorial Day weekend.
Right. Okay.
Yes.
Right, right. Is lemonade the only thing the kids are they supposed to do, or can they branch out a little bit? Because I know that I've seen cookies, I've seen baked goods, and I don't want to spill any secrets or anything, but...
Well, I want to share one really good story, and it kind of is talking about what you were saying, Dan, where kids come back and they learn.
Mm-hmm.
We had one young entrepreneur in Ellettsville who had his stand, and he loves Gatorade.
Uh-huh.
He found out, though, so he served lemonade and Gatorade his very first year. The Gatorade did not sell well. And so the next year, he dropped the Gatorade, and he brought some of his grandmother's brownies that she made specifically for him to serve with his lemonade. Sold like hotcakes. So the next year, he asked her if she would make even more. And she's been there every year along with his mother to help mm-hmm. him be successful as it stands. So he's learned from year to year to year what to do to be more successful. And it's a wonderful success story.
That is awesome. Plus, I these kids are dealing with cash. I mean, because
mm-hmm.
lemonade is not something that you're swiping a debit card for. So the fact that they're probably dealing with quarters and dollar bills.
Oh,
I
yeah.
mean, well, because in talking on David Hayes' show, we've talked about how some kids never really see
right.
green anymore because you swipe a card and
right.
you don't realize that sometimes your wallet empties or gets a little bit low. So they get to experience that and see, hey, we need to start selling lemonade because there's not much green in the
making
cash box
change.
Right now.
That's,
yes.
that's
yeah.
always interesting.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, the other thing I love is you'll notice some of these kids look like they're employing other children, right? And they
yeah.
do. I mean,
really?
They're pulling other kids.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what we think about entrepreneurship, right, is this is a job creator of the future.
Uh-huh.
You know, we know small shops are going to be where the jobs are in the future, and these kids are hiring others to come work at their stand. I love it.
Has
I don't know if they really pay them anything more than lemonade and candy,
right.
but they're getting the concept.
Maybe they do their chores for a week or something.
I don't know what it is.
I'm just wondering if some kid really branches out and like has, you know, shoe shining at his lemonade stand or iPad, syncing your iPad to your iPhone. I mean, just something that...
Things we can't do for ourselves.
Exactly.
We've seen a lot of interesting things so far, but you may be seeding some ideas out there right now that we'll see
right.
you in May.
Well, so let's talk through again. So registration is on right now, mm-hmm. bloomington.lemonadeday.org. You mm-hmm. can sign up online. When are the next couple actual events that you can go to if you want to sign up at a location?
There's a Math Magic Night at one of the elementary schools on March 24th. And then the next one would be at the April 2nd.
At Ivy Tech.
Workshop. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And again, all of this is at bloomington.lemonadeday.org, and we'll put all of it on our Facebook page and the WGCL page as well. And then cutoff time, when would you like people to be signed up by?
The sooner they can get signed up, the better for planning their mm-hmm. Stand and all the things that go along with that. At the very latest, the April 2nd would be a great time to come to the workshop, register. But people can register all the way up through Lemonade Day itself. It's just the longer lead time you have, the better the experience is going to be. So we do encourage people to sign up early. And I do want to mention one thing. If you've got a group that wants to participate, when we were out at the mall at our registration kickoff event, we had a Girl Scout troop who did Lemonade Day for the first time last year come back and do it again. And if you want to sign up a group rather than signing up each one individually, you can just email me at lemonadeday@bgcbloomington.org and ask for a troop group form. So okay. If you've got a sports team you want to sign
group.
Up.
Like that. Troop group.
Yeah. That's good.
You can send the form back to me all filled out, and I'll collect the workbooks and the backpacks and the T-shirt, and I have it all in one nice package for pickup or delivery and make it nice and simple on that group leader.
Okay. And then Lemonade Day is Saturday, May 21st?
May 21st.
Yep. What time are we starting tentatively? Is it?
That's up to the kids. They get to decide their hours of operation.
Really?
But what we will do is on our website, bloomington.lemonadeday.org, there's a tab that says participate, and the link on there says stands on the map. And you can go to that. One, all the businesses that have agreed to host a lemonade stand will be on there. Mm-hmm. The child or children who are operating that stand will be on there. And one of the things that we've added this year is what charity or nonprofit they're donating a portion of their proceeds to.
Okay.
So if you want to support a particular cause, you can look on that stands on a map and go and buy lemonade from that stand that particular day.
So it is a first come, first serve, or who you know if you want to put a stand on mm-hmm. the B-line or at a certain spot on the square or mm-hmm. something like that, mm-hmm. you've got to make the connection right away.
And if someone wants to do it in their own neighborhood, they just give us that information and we'll put it on the map.
Mm-hmm.
So you can determine one that isn't necessarily hosted by a business even. It's just nice to have that community support and getting the businesses involved, because it provides traffic for the lemonade stand and hopefully for the business.
And if a business wants to be an investor for these kids, should they come on April 2nd as well? Should they contact you? Can you help match people up to kids who are maybe struggling to find that ideal investor, so to speak?
Absolutely. Just have them email me okay. and we'll connect them.
Perfect. Have I forgotten anything before I let you guys go? Yes.
One thing.
Yes.
On the website, there are pictures of stands from last year, but an even better source of those, if you want to get some ideas, is to go on to our Facebook page or our Pinterest page. We're also on Twitter, and you can search any of the social media just by looking for Lemonade Day BL.
Lemonade Day BL.
Mm-hmm.
Got it. Dan and Tina Peterson, Amy Swain. Lemonade Day, and you will be drinking a lot of lemonade, I have a feeling, over the next
yellow.
Couple of weeks.
And wearing yellow.
Oh, and yellow?
Absolutely. We think it should be like a yellow out that day, don't you
Ooh.
Think?
Turn
Everyone
the city
should be
yellow.
Wearing yellow.
Yeah. That might mm-hmm. be, okay.
Especially you.
On that note, thank you guys for coming in. We're going to take a break. Be back in a couple minutes.
Sports.
All right, Hoosier fans. Did you celebrate a little bit on Tuesday night? Please tell me you did, because it was absolutely worth celebrating. The number 12 Hoosiers defeated the number 16 Iowa Hawkeyes 81-78 in Iowa City to win the Big Ten Conference Championship completely outright. Iowa senior Peter Jock missed a three-pointer as the time expired on Tuesday night, and ended up with Indiana claiming its 22nd Big Ten championship in history, as well as the second outright title under head coach Tom Crean. Now, if you watched the game on Tuesday night, and I was in Chicago with co-workers at a training, so I didn't really get to focus. We were at dinner, and I didn't get to follow along as much as I would like. But it did get a little crazy in the second half. The Hawkeyes took a 75-74 lead with just under 4 minutes remaining before missing nine consecutive shots. And Indiana scored six unanswered points. A three-pointer by Anthony Clemens, 9 seconds left, and a steal by Christian Williams on the ensuing possession gave Iowa a pair of looks for forcing an overtime. But Clemens airballed a contested three-pointer, and then Jock missed an open from the corner as the buzzer sounded. So we won, and it's kind of an awesome feeling, I got to say. Throughout the process of winning the Big Ten, Indiana has been relatively quiet. I mean, honestly, we had some struggles from the get-go. We've talked about it here. But the Hoosiers are now 24-6 in overall season. They're 14-3 in Big Ten tournament play. And now we move on to the next phase, the Big Ten tournament. So with that, though, a little bit of injury on things as well. Juwan Morgan's status for Sunday's game, our final game of the season, is uncertain after the freshman forward aggravated a shoulder injury late in the game on Tuesday night against Iowa. He went down in pain. We had the medical team out there as well. He was out earlier in the season, late November. He suffered a foot injury during a final game in the Maui Invitational and ended up Morgan missed 4 games. Shoulder hasn't really been a big concern. He's been wearing a brace at times under his uniform. And then we also had sophomore guard Robert Johnson. He made the trip out to Iowa this week, but he is still suffering or recovering from an ankle sprain suffered late February when the Hoosiers took on Purdue. So we've got some injuries there, but one more game in the regular season this Sunday. Maryland comes to town, 4:30 tip for that game, and then we move on to the Big Ten tournament on March 11th for the next, or 11th, 12th, and 13th is what I'm trying to say. So that's your men's Hoosiers team. Our Lady Hoosiers have great reason to celebrate as well. Coach Terry Morin, in her second year at IU, received the award for the Big Ten Coach of the Year. And Tyra Buss, who is a sophomore with the Hoosiers, led the Hoosiers in scoring at 19 points per game. She made the All-Big Ten first team as well. Buss is a point guard for the Hoosiers, and Lady Hoosiers finished 12-6, first facing some Big Ten foes. They came in number 4 in the conference standings and earned a double bye in this week's conference tournament. The Lady Hoosiers, or I should say the Women's Big Ten College Basketball Tournament, the Women's Big Ten Tournament for basketball is this weekend. Plus, what is really cool for the Lady Hoosiers this year, they had a 14-0 record at home. Every game that they played in Assembly Hall this season, they won. So congratulations again to Terry Morin, to Coach Crean, our Hoosiers on both sides, men and women for basketball. Fantastic job, a fantastic season, but it's not over just yet. IU baseball, though, a little bit of a different story. We talked about this over the last couple of weeks. We had our first game last Friday against Middle Tennessee. The Hoosiers won that one, but since then they have lost 6 straight games. So it's been a very rough start for our Hoosiers. They come to the Bart Kaufman Field on March 11th for the first home game locally, and hopefully things perk up a little bit for them as well. So again, Chuck Crabb every Friday morning on Glass in the Morning has updates on that. But yeah, we'll turn it around. We can do it. It's still very early in the season. High school boys basketball updates. I really don't have too much because South played on Friday night, and I don't know what the score of the game was. So check that out Monday morning, 7:45 and 8:45 on Glass in the Morning. Joe Smith will be dialing in and give you all of your updates on that. And then on some football scene, the Colts announced earlier this week, and this is not unknown, but Matt Hasselbeck will not be coming back to the Indianapolis Colts next season. He has had a lot of brought some great stuff to the Colts this season and was a very much needed player. And he's got some age on him. He also was sick during the season as well. So we heard all about that when you tuned into WGCL for your Colts coverage, that there were some things going on between Hasselbeck and Luck and all of that. So, but by the same token, Hasselbeck has tweeted out as the way that you do things now in the world that he loves Indianapolis and the Colts and has no ill will whatsoever. And a lot of the Colts as well reciprocated the love and really appreciated what Matt Hasselbeck brought to the Colts this season. So we'll see what shakes out with all of that in the coming weeks before we get into NFL season late in the summer, early fall kind of thing. We'll know some more July, August, around there. So that's your look at sports. We'll be back to wrap up the show and give you some things going on in Bloomington here in just a couple minutes. Stay with me. Just a couple minutes left in the show, and let's get you your forecast and some fun over the next couple of days. Saturday, 40% chance of rain and snow this morning until about 11 o'clock, then a slight chance of rain between 11 and 2. Mostly cloudy, a high near 31 today. Tonight, low around 30, partly cloudy. And then on Sunday, sunny with a high near 54. And of course, all your weather all the time right here at WGCL Radio and WGCLRadio.com. Thanks again to Dan and Tina Peterson and to Amy Swain for coming in and talking about Lemonade Day this year. Again, we will put all of the contact information, links to their social media, their website, everything at facebook.com/TheBloomingtonReview. And also we will tie that in on the WGCLRadio.com page as well. When you click on local shows and go to the Bloomington Review, all of that information will be there. So if you miss any part of it, you can get on there as well. But the dates to remember are April 2nd out at Ivy Tech, and then Lemonade Day proper will be Saturday, May 21st in Bloomington. So all the information will be available to you in the community. Speaking of information and the community, Julie Warren, our friend from Visit Bloomington, always sends out some great stuff for Fridays of what's going on in Bloomington and around the area. This weekend is the 25th annual Indiana Heritage Quilt Show. First day was yesterday, Friday, and then it starts today, Saturday, at 9 o'clock at the Convention Center, $10 per person per day. And we talked about this a few weeks ago when Julie was on the program. These are not just your grandmother's quilts, the wedding ring style and all of that kind of stuff. These are pieces of art. There are some that are for sale, but there are some that are just amazing to see. So if you are into any kind of textile design and things, you want to definitely check out the Indiana Heritage Quilt Show. Then on Saturday as well, 10 o'clock, it's the Wiley House Heirloom Seed Sale. This is where you can go and purchase heirloom vegetables, flowers, herbs, all of that kind of stuff. Really learn about how that works. This will take place at the Wiley House on East 2nd Street. It's a free event. Starts at 10 o'clock today. And then also at the IU Auditorium, it's the RAS Royalty starting at 6 o'clock tonight. It's a dance competition, all kinds of different kids and students from across the United States. It's a free event, so head out to the IU Auditorium tonight, 6 p.m., for the RAS Royalty Show. And all of that information and more is found at www.visitbloomington.com. Thanks so much for tuning in and joining me on the program this week. Again, next week should have Kurt Dernal, the public information sergeant with the Indiana State Police. So if you have any questions or thoughts for Kurt, please let me know. You can put those on our Facebook page. You can comment on the WGCLRadio.com page. Even my email is linked up there. Jim@WGCLRadio.com. So send me a note. So let me know what's going on with all of that, and we'll see if we can get some of those to Kurt next week. And then spring break week, we will have some stuff coming up, and then Julie Warren will be on later on in March to let us know what's going on between now and Memorial Day. Hard to believe we're thinking about that. Everybody stay warm, stay safe, and we will talk to you next week. Bye-bye.